All rights reserved. We reserve all rights. Warning. Buckle up. Things are about to get very real.
It's just too soon to tell. We've just got to concentrating on continuing to get those numbers down.
Go get vaccinated, America. Go and get the vaccination. They're available. You're eligible now. When I was sworn in on January 20th, less than 1% of the seniors in America are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. 100 days later, 70% of seniors in America over 65 are protected.
They're here.
Sweetie, remember last night? Do you remember when you woke up and you said they were here?
Uh-huh.
Well, who did you mean? Who's here?
The TV people.
The longer a person watches television, the more easily the brain slips into alpha level, a slow, steady brainwave pattern in which the mind is in its most receptive mode. Images and suggestions are implanted directly into the mind without viewer participation. Images and suggestions are implanted directly into the mind without viewer participation. An effect of hypnosis is induced. An effect of hypnosis is induced. An effect of hypnosis is induced. And the viewer surrenders to the unending television image stream.
In the 1960s through the early 1980s, American television stations used to sign off at midnight and shut their transmitters down until 6 a.m. By this time, anybody still awake and watching was already in a hypnotic and suggestive alpha wave brain state from watching hours of mind-numbing programs, and were treated to a most bizarre phenomenon. It started out with the seal of the president of, well, your United States? Definitely not our United States or the United. Well, you tell me, what the hell is that? This person makes presidential seals for a living? When 1896 printing technology looked like this 70 years earlier. And then came, of all things,
our national anthem.
There are two obviously ridiculous things about this. The first is that the national anthem is only ever sung at major sporting events, with tens of thousands of people getting hyped up on the nationalistic, patriotic crackpipe in order to explode in a religious fervor of ecstasy and applause as a sort of cheap, free warm-up act for the big game. So it is a very peculiar choice to show to a bunch of zombied-out midnight television watchers who should be going to sleep, not having an ecstatic, uplifting pseudo-religious experience well past bedtime. The second comical thing is that the whole point of the national anthem is the sung words, but the sign-off was only instrumental, and the words scrolled across the screen at the bottom of patriotic images of the homeland. But who wants to squint and read karaoke lyrics at midnight, and who would even bother singing along at that hour? As an American, we all know the words by heart anyway. Who doesn't know their national anthem? It certainly wasn't to teach children, because they were long asleep by midnight. Another sinister thing to note is that Steven Spielberg used this sign-off twice in the opening of his 1982 film Poltergeist. He either used one of the other versions, of which there were a few, or he recreated his own version. But the scrolling lyrics are absent from both of his versions, and all demonic hell breaks loose right after these sign-offs play. Why? Was he cryptically trying to tell us something? Shortly after this time, in the late 80s, the filmmaker John Carpenter made a film called They Live, in which the main character, played by Rowdy Roddy Piper, finds a special pair of glasses that allows him to see the actual subliminal messages behind all signs, advertising, billboards, marketing, magazines, and mainstream media. Many years later, just before his death, Rowdy Piper began going on conspiracy talk shows like Alex Jones and sending out strange tweets like, "They Live was a documentary, not a fictional fantasy dystopian film." Like Spielberg, was John Carpenter trying to tell us something? When we slow down the scrolling words to the national anthem sign-off, as they change to each new line, we get a chilling yes to that question. Did you see it? You did, but you don't know you saw it. The words are, "O say can you see, by the dawn's early light." There is no trust in either of those sentences. It will take too long to play the entire film, but it happens twice with every line. But the most important part comes at the very end, and most people who have seen this completely miss this. But first, we notice that they almost always repeat every saying twice in a row, an effective subliminal suggestive technique. So far, they've told us 5 times that God is real and God is watching. 4 times to believe in government, God, 2x to trust the U.S. government, 8 times to obey and consume, and 4 times that rebellion is not tolerated. In other words, they are programming people to believe that the government is their God. The government is real and the government is watching them, and that they have to trust the government, obey the government, constantly consume, which obviously means having to constantly work to buy things, and thus pay the government taxes on both the income and the goods. And by the way, the government God won't tolerate rebellion, so don't even try it. But back to the anthem. Now that they've established that they are our God, they command us to worship them. But now they throw in a strange double subliminal written at the same time over the other one. As usual, we get it repeated twice in a row. By Ultra, by Naomi. And then for the first time, they make it perfectly clear. Do not question the government while showing a flag hanging over the land of the free.
Why is that, ladies?
Oh yeah, you're free, just not to question the government. So what does By Ultra, By Naomi mean? Why is it even there? MK Ultra was a program of experiments on human subjects undertaken by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency that delved into areas of brainwashing, which was coordinated with the United States Army Biological Warfare's laboratories. It ran from 1953 until it was officially halted in 1973 and engaged in illegal activities, including the use of U.S. citizens as its unwitting subjects. MKUltra used numerous methods to manipulate its subjects' mental states and brain functions, which included hypnosis and verbal abuse. Obviously, you can't literally buy MKUltra, so the term buy must be a slang or synonym for believe, trust in, buy into MKUltra. But what about Buy Naomi? Project MK Naomi was a joint DOD-CIA research program lasting from the 1950s through the 1970s. It is generally reported to be a successor to the MKUltra project, focusing on biological projects, including biological warfare agents. The goal was to have a robust arsenal of lethal and incapacitating materials within the CIA's Technical Service Division, today known as the OTS, or Office of Technical Service. This would enable the OTS to serve as a center for supplying biological and chemical materials. The U.S. Army's Special Operations Command was assigned to assist the CIA with the development, testing, and maintenance procedures for these biological agents and delivery systems. Both the CIA and SOC modified guns to fire special darts coated with biological agents and poisonous pills. A 1967 CIA memo, which was uncovered by the Church Committee, contained evidence of at least three covert techniques for attacking and poisoning food crops. The million-dollar question: why was a secret biological weapons division like MK Naomi involved in a film with subliminal messages telling people in a TV-induced comatose suggestive state to believe their government is God, to trust, obey, and worship it constantly, and to constantly consume? Consume what? Poison pesticide-laced GMO crops and poisonous darts?
Yeah. I mean, my personal thing is, like, you know, you get blow darts of J&J, and again, I'm a little cynical.
Blow darts of J&J?
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson.
What do you mean?
Like, go to the unvaccinated, blow it into them, blow dart it into them.
Yeah.
That's where I am at this point.
The project most likely got its name from the Old Testament story of Ruth and Naomi. When a famine occurred in Israelite Naomi's land of Bethlehem in the days when the judges ruled, much like today. To escape the famine, Elimelech moved his wife Naomi and their two sons to the country of Moab. Naomi's husband Elimelech means "my God is king." The move was difficult because of the bitter strife between the Israelites like Naomi and the Moabites. The Moabites had never forgiven the Israeli tribes for coming through their area during Israel's pilgrimage to Canaan. The Moabites were descendants of Lot and worshipped false idols, not the Lord. I'm guessing if Naomi's husband's name was "My God is King," she probably didn't like the Moabites either.
Why is that, ladies?
Because of their false idol worship, which might explain MK Naomi offering up the false idol government god to those useless eaters meant to be harvested later to avoid mass famine. Later, Naomi learned that the famine in Bethlehem was over, and she decided to return to her native land where her daughter Ruth would harvest the barley fields. You see, according to Bill Cooper, Project MK Naomi had another purpose that Wikipedia is not telling us about.
And in the Los Angeles Times in 1989, they ran an article. It was 10 forecasts for the coming decade was the title of the article. I have a copy of it in my research center. And number five, I believe it was number five, in those 10 forecasts for the coming decade was chemical or electronic implants to control individual behavior on a 24-hour basis, unquote. So it's not hidden at all. It's there for anybody who wants to look.
But nobody's looking.
Nobody's looking. They believe, and I believe that they're right, that the biggest danger to mankind right now is man himself, population. A study in 1957 told them that by 1990, the world population would double. In 33 years, can you imagine that? The world population of human beings doubled in 33 years. Mm-hmm. And they knew that it's an exponential doubling throughout history. Every time it's doubled, the interval has gotten shorter. So that was 33 years. The next doubling will take place in approximately 28 years. The next one after that, approximately 24 years. Can you imagine? If the world population doubles again in 28 years from 1990, in other words, in the year 2018, the world population doubles, and we're having problems with food supplies and timber and clean water and clean air now, and then after that it doubles again in another 24 years, that's why they created AIDS. Because they didn't want to have to go around the world and say, you and you up against the wall, you've got to die today, and shoot them. They did it in a manner where they could target what they consider to be undesirable populations. And I want it very clear that I don't agree with them on this. They specifically targeted blacks, Hispanics, and homosexuals for complete eradication.
That theory has made news. I've heard that before, and,
well,
and it's been debunked
theory.
Very clear by the public saying, oh, that's ridiculous, but you're saying that that may indeed be the case.
It's not ridiculous. I actually saw this in documents, and the project name was Project Naomi, MK Naomi was the name of it. It was a CIA project, the AIDS, whatever causes AIDS. Whatever that turns out to be, according to those documents, was developed at Fort Detrick, Maryland, under a CIA project called MK Naomi. It was financed by $10 million for the Department of the Army's biological warfare programs. It was carried out, supervised by the CIA, carried out by scientists who worked for the Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense. It's doing its job.
Sure enough, as we later learned through the Strecker Memorandum by Dr. Robert Strecker and his attorney brother Ted, lab-grown toxins from leukemic cancer tissue from sick cows mixed with lymphonomic cancer tissue from sick sheep were put into tens of millions of these, destined for 27 African countries, and also put into millions of these, destined for the U.S. cities with the largest Rainbow Pride populations, who were the 90% majority adult recipients of these. Those cow-sheep juice darts made them all initially sick, and a bogus, fraudulent test was created that claimed it could detect the presence of a never-isolated or proven to exist to this day theoretical one of these, that really only looks for a small, fairly common partial genetic fragments in order to false positive a large portion of people who took the test and then offer a highly deadly toxic organ-destroying chemotherapy drug called AZT as the treatment for the initial illness caused by these and even those who weren't really ill but tested false positive. The head of the National Institute of Health at the time, responsible for approving AZT, was this man. Does he look familiar? He should, because he's at it again today. And here's how Naomi plays her game. This is not the bioweapon, because this does not exist in the way that they need us to believe. These are just normal dead cellular debris particles from dying cells in a toxic petri dish. These are neither airborne, contagious, nor cause disease. They need us to believe that these exist so that we'll go out and take these. But these were not the bioweapons either back then. These just made you sick enough to go see an ignorant doctor who was then instructed to give you one of these, which cannot detect these because these have never been isolated or had a genome run to create a genetic test that can even detect them. But in reality, the test itself can be triggered false positive by hundreds of things. Then they tell you you must have caught this, and they falsely tell you they can extend your life if you start taking the real bioweapon, which is this.
I was visiting the Post Library, as I recall it, after hours of doing some studying, and I found a reference to a shocking concept. It's still shocking to this day. And it was called Project MK Naomi. MK colon Naomi, N-A-O-M. Ethno-specific biological ethnic-specific biological weapons. Took my breath away. And it indicated that we had such a thing either in development or already in the arsenal to use against other people. Ethnic-specific biological weapons. The concept was that the Army was developing biological weapons, which are now called weapons of mass destruction. Thought illegal, supposed to be illegal, I think, according to Geneva Conventions, etc. But my understanding at that time was that the Army was designing specific weapons that people wouldn't have an immune defense for. So guaranteed to kill them.
Since this proved easier said than done, it was easier to create an immune-destroying drug like AZT that kills all ethnic groups. But use vaccination campaigns and PCR test placement strategies to get the tests and drugs mostly only into target depopulation areas like Africa and the major city areas with the most rainbow people populations and Hep B vaccinations. The small 10% of AZT-caused AIDS deaths who were straight whites were just an acceptable casualty of depopulation warfare. Naomi's game is to make people believe they have a deadly viral disease that doesn't even exist in reality, and then slow kill people with the poisonous treatment drug. And the PCR test fraud is at the center of this whole technique. Once you see it for what it really is, this information will literally save your life and cost you your life dearly if you don't. If you wanted to create a genetic molecular test that could prove that this hoof came from a pink flying unicorn, you would obviously first have to capture a real live pink flying unicorn, take a sample from its hoof, and genetically map and sequence its full genome so that you could do the same to this hoof and see if it is a match. Not only that, but you would have to collect and sequence map the genomes of all of the 217 different breeds of regular horses and the thousands of crossbreeds, and then painstakingly test this hoof against every one of them to make sure it didn't actually belong to one of those horses and not a pink flying unicorn after all. You cannot say, "Well, we don't actually have a pink flying unicorn hoof to sequence and compare this hoof to, but the guy who's selling this hoof claims it's from a pink flying unicorn, and that's why he wants so much cash for it. So here's what we'll do. Unicorns look like horses in drawings and legends, so they probably have hooves just like horses. Let's just make up a unicorn genome in a computer by blending the genomes of the 10 most popular horses. Then, we'll create a PCR test to check a tiny, minute portion of this hoof's genome against that computer unicorn genome we invented, and if it's close, we'll just take his word for it. Yeah, but what if it's really from a zebra, or one of the hundreds of horses you didn't include in your computer model, and there's really nothing special about it? With the exception of bacteriophages, which are not viruses, no virus ever in the history of the world in virology has ever been purified, completely isolated, and had a genomic sequence mapped and cataloged. Ever. Not a single one, including COVID-19. And no virologist in the world disputes this fact. Viruses are as theoretical as pink flying unicorns, and therefore, just like the pink flying unicorn, it is impossible to design a PCR test to detect the partial genetic sequence of a virus if you have never been in possession of, isolated, purified, and genetically sequenced the full genome of that alleged virus. Impossible. Period. They admit themselves that they completely manufacture these virus genomes in a computer, exactly as we did for our unicorn hoof. And so they can have their PCR test look for any short sequence they want it to. This is not conspiracy theory. This is fact. In the document by the U.S. Center for Disease Control discussing how they came up with the PCR test for SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19, they tell you right there on page 42, real-time PCR tests were determined in limit of detection studies since no quantified virus isolates of the 2019 SARS-CoV-2 were available for the CDC to use at the time the test was developed. You heard that right. The U.S.'s biggest health authority had no sample or proof of any such thing called SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. So assays, meaning the analysis, designed for the detection of COVID-19 RNA, were tested with characterized stocks of in vitro, full-length RNA of known titer, meaning concentrated substances, spiked with human A549 alveolar cells to mimic a clinical specimen of COVID-19. Yes, you read that right. They used the actual sick, cancerous human lung cell tissue itself to test for an alleged virus collected from sick human lung cells. In other words, the CDC didn't have a pink unicorn hoof, so they used regular horse hoof RNA and some other common horse DNA they already had in stock to make the PCR test for pink unicorn hooves.
Because it's never been proven that there's anything unique about any of the sequences. In fact, as I pointed out, when a friend did a BLAST search, which is a search of the essentially genetic database, he found that one of the primer sequences called the spike protein, it matches 93 human sequences and 91 sequences from other microbes and fungus and other organisms. So there's nothing unique about this. They're simply testing for pieces of genetic material, having no idea the origin of this genetic material.
So Naomi programs their PCR test to look for 93 pieces of genetic material found in all human DNA and 91 pieces of genetic material from common bacteria found inside all humans, and build those known predictable sequences into their computer-manufactured virus genome. If you manufacture a fake virus genome sequence in a computer by using a compilation of 184 genetic fragment sequences commonly found in the lung sputum samples of all human beings, if you amplify those lung sputum samples enough times using the PCR doubling technique, obviously you'll find what you're looking for. In other words, you'll get a COVID test positive. That's why Naomi customized the test to find what she designed it to find in the first place. The Nobel Prize-winning scientist Carrie Mullis, who invented the PCR technique, explains.
Now, the results, the interpretation of it. See, if you can say, if they could find this virus in you at all, and with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. It starts making you believe in the sort of Buddhist notion that everything is contained in everything else, right? I mean, because if you can amplify one single molecule up to something that you can really measure, which PCR can do, then there's just very few molecules that you don't have at least one single one of them in your body, okay? So that could be thought of as a misuse of it, just to claim that it's meaningful. The measurement for it is not exact at all. It's not as good as our measurement for things like apples. An apple is an apple. You know, you can get something that's kind of like, if you got enough things that look kind of like an apple and you stick them all together, you might think it's an apple. But and HIV is like that. Those tests are all based on things that are invisible, and the results are inferred in a sense. PCR is separate from that. It's just a process that's used to make a whole lot of something out of something. That's what also, it is. It doesn't tell you that you're sick, and it doesn't tell you that the thing you ended up with really was going to hurt you or anything like that.
What is it about humanity that wants to go to all the details and stuff and listen? You know, these guys like Fauci get up there and start talking. You know, he doesn't know anything really about anything, and I'd say that to his face. Nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. He doesn't understand electron microscopy, and he doesn't understand medicine, and he should not be in a position like he's in. Most of those guys up there on the top are just total administrative people, and they don't know anything about what's going on the bottom. You know, those guys have got an agenda, which is not what we would like them to have, being that we pay for them to take care of our health in some way. They've got a personal kind of agenda. They make up their own rules as they go. They change them when they want to. And they smugly, like Tony Fauci, does not mind going on television in front of the people that pay his salary and lie directly into the camera. You can't expect the sheep to really respect the best and the brightest. They don't know the difference, really. I mean, I like humans, don't get me wrong, but basically there's a vast majority of them do not possess the ability to judge who is and who isn't a really good scientist. I mean, that's a problem. That's a main problem, actually, with science, I'd say, in this century, because science is being judged by people. Funding is being done by people who don't understand it. Okay, who do we trust? Fauci? Fauci doesn't know enough to, you know. If Fauci wants to get on television with somebody who knows a little bit about this stuff and debate him, he could easily do it, because he's been asked. I mean, I've had a lot of people, president of the University of South Carolina, ask Fauci if he'd come down there and debate me on the stage in front of the student body, because I wanted somebody who was from the other side to come down there and balance my, because I felt like, well, these guys can listen to me, but I need to have somebody else down here that's going to tell me the other side. But Fauci didn't want to do it.
After nearly a year of independent labs and experts finding 70 to 97% false PCR positives when spinning PCR cycles at 35 to 40 cycles, as they were directed to by the World Health Organization, compared to the normal lower 25 to 30 PCR amplification cycles, on January 20th, 2021, the World Health Organization finally had to release two memos instructing labs that they need to start spinning the tests at a much lower threshold, but it was too late. The damage was already done. The world was already scared to death of the 125 million false PCR test positive cases and the 662,000 deaths, whose corpses were given one of these bogus PCR tests as well. It was always listed as a second or third factor, never a primary cause of death. But when you take away the 95% admitted false positive average, the cases come down to 6.5 million and 662,000 deaths, exactly in line with what the World Health Organization says on their own website is the normal number of severe cases and deaths of flu on any bad flu season. Not remarkably, we were all told scientists were baffled that the age-old flu had mysteriously disappeared 98% in every country worldwide, right when this new alleged virus turns up on the scene with the exact same symptoms as any flu and the exact same mortality rate as the flu season. Yet very few people have the common logical thinking capability to see Naomi clearly renamed the seasonal influenza as COVID-19 while instructing all of the labs worldwide to spin the PCR cycle so many times that they'd get a false positive no matter what they were testing. Even molecules from kiwis, goats, birds, Coca-Cola, papayas, durians, blank tests, apple juice, motor oil, sink water, lemons, blueberries, river water, and many, many more.
And with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. It starts making you believe in the sort of Buddhist notion that everything is contained in everything else, right? I mean,
remember, the CIA is behind MKUltra and MKNaomi. And as the former CIA director William Casey said, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. Any American not asking why their own government's intelligence agency wants its own countrymen all brainwashed is already brainwashed. Most people literally believe that there is a deadly new world-threatening pandemic, despite the fact that the total world death rates in 2020 were lower than 80% of any of the previous 30 years and 99% lower than the last 79 years when the records began. This is obviously statistically impossible if there is a new deadly worldwide pandemic. But facts don't register to the brainwashed masses. They literally believe that 2 plus 2 equals 5. If you manufactured a car that had faulty brakes, would you halt the sales and production of that car and fix the brakes? Or announce that you're still going to sell that faulty car for 5 more months and then fix the brakes? The CDC quietly announced on July 21, 2021, that after December 31, 2021, 5 months later, the CDC will withdraw their request to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use authorization of the CDC 2019 COVID-19 real-time PCR diagnostic test, introduced back in February 2020, for detection of SARS-CoV-2 only. Read that again. Only. That's the test we already discussed on page 42 in their document that admitted it was not designed to test for SARS-CoV-2 because they had possession of no such thing as SARS-CoV-2 to design a test to detect. Now, they say the CDC also recommends clinical laboratories and testing facilities that have been using the CDC 2019 PCR test that scared the hell out of everyone and told them they have a virus disease that doesn't even exist to begin to transition to another FDA-authorized test instead. Why? Because the CDC encourages laboratories to consider adoption of a multiplexed method that can facilitate detection and the differentiation of SARS-CoV-2 and influenza viruses. Read that again. In other words, They want labs to use a test that can tell the difference between COVID-19 and the regular seasonal flu, because clearly this test cannot, according to the CDC themselves. So while on the one hand, yes, scientifically speaking, COVID-19 PCR tests are meaningless, but for Naomi, it's the most meaningful weapon in her arsenal. It's the only way they can convince us to take the actual bioweapons. A biological weapon can be a biological toxin that has been prepared for the release within a civilian population in sufficient concentration to cause widespread illness or death, a toxin designed or used for warfare. They are at war with the human population. They literally wrote it in stone. They intend to murder us by a series of lethal, graphene oxide-based nanoparasite injections. Along with booster shots, in tandem with fatal viral treatment medications like midazolam, remdesivir, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin, to bring the world population down from nearly 8 billion people to just 500 million and maintain that surviving population in perpetual balance with nature, even controlling who can reproduce or not and how many children they can have, by restricting and controlling every aspect of those people's lives through full-spectrum dominance surveillance technology and a technocratic worldwide social credit system controlled by artificial intelligence. You see, Naomi has now changed both her game strategy and target populations. With HIV, she had to inject the Africans and rainbow people with cancerous animal tissue to make them just sick enough to go take the HIV PCR test in order to make their doctors prescribe the deadly AZT. Now that we are all the targets, they have to force us to take the tests whether we are sick or not.
NYC, you're doing great with wearing masks and social distancing to fight COVID-19. What's next? Get tested often, even with no symptoms. To find a testing site at no cost to you, visit nyc.gov/COVID test or call 212-COVID-19.
But oh my God, look at all of these worldwide cases over the last 20 months of testing. That's a lot of pink flying unicorn hooves. Actually, it's only 0.03% of the total world population. And with a PCR test with a 95% false positive rate that can't detect any such thing as COVID-19, this is actually good news. That means that out of 7.6 billion people, less than 0.03% of the population are dumb enough to go out and constantly get tested, which means the governments are clearly lying about their statistics. Yes, but look at all of those deaths. Yes, you could give every dead corpse the exact same PCR test, but call it influenza A or B, and the numbers would be exactly the same. They admitted the test doesn't know the difference. It's purely what name they give the bogus test results. This psychopath is mocking us and cryptically telling us what they're up to, and it's our own fault for not paying closer attention. You cannot be asymptomatic for something that allegedly causes severe illness and death any more than you can be hungover when you had nothing to drink the night before. They don't care if you are fast asleep or even diet woke, so long as you believe there is such a thing as COVID-19 and pathogenic viruses. This time, in order to justify the testing and lockdowns worldwide, they needed real statistical sudden spikes in death rates in March of 2020 to scare us all, and Naomi went to work. The first target population, the elderly. A, because their social security and pension funds are long gone and stolen by our governments, and B, because the elderly see what's coming, because they have lived through this before. The first thing they did was swap the antiviral amoebic treatment drug hydroxyquinoline for the highly toxic anti-rheumatoid treatment drug hydroxychloroquine, a drug you take in high doses to commit suicide by heart attack, and instructed hospitals to start clinical trial studies with lethal dose amounts, as Dr. Klaus Kohnlein explains.
Excess mortality of the normal flu. And then you see 2020, and then you see how the normal flu just wanted to disappear in the end of March, and all of a sudden, there is this sharp increase in the middle of April. That's a time when the usual flu is gone. On accident, a friend of mine showed me some data from the WHO studies. When they started the study, they started it in the end of March, starting April. And I looked at the data and I saw that they started it with hydroxychloroquine in a very high dose, 2.4 gram on the first day, followed with 800 milligrams for 10 days. So people had in their blood after 10 days, they had almost 10 gram of hydroxychloroquine in a dosage 400 milligrams, 200 until 400 milligrams. But this treatment, this hydroxychloroquine has a very short therapeutic range. That means you can overdose it very easily. That happened in April. And this sharp increase is the only explanation, is this overdosage of hydroxychloroquine, because we heard it also in Brazil and in England. People were dying like flies in April. I heard it from a friend of mine who takes care of the intensive station here in Kiel. They were telephoning with colleagues in London, and they got the message, well, they are dying here, it's terrible. And they were really anxious here in Kiel as well, that this wave will come to us also, but nothing happened. Because we in Germany, we didn't use this high dosage. In England, in London, they used the recovery study, was a special English program. They used this high dosage of hydroxychloroquine. And of course, doctors noticed it after a while. And then the studies were stopped. The studies were all stopped in all over the world. In Brazil, they stopped the study because of very bad heart complications. That's what I have to say. This hydroxychloroquine, if you use it in this high dosage, it does heart arrhythmias. And it does lethal heart arrhythmias. Right? That's why it is used if you want to kill yourself. The question is, how could it happen? How could it happen that they take this high dosage? And the leader of this study, Professor Landry, was asked, how could it come that you take this high dosage? And he said, well, COVID-19 is a new disease and we have to start with something. So that was his answer. And another colleague asked him, well, but okay, it's a reasonable answer, but why this high dosage? Then he said, well, he looked how they had treated amoebiasis in the early days, and it was a similar, they took a similar amount of pills. And then the other doctor said, well, I never treated amoebiasis with hydroxychloroquine. We used hydroxyquinoline. I think he confused it. This man is a dangerous man. But since these studies are stopped, there is no excess mortality in no country anymore. Well, these trials, the Solidarity Discovery and REMAP study, the REMAP was done in Belgium. And that is a very interesting point, because Belgium is the direct neighbor to Germany. And we have I can show you this. We have this sharp increase in Belgium in the middle of April.
That's quite big.
And we don't have it in Germany. So this virus obviously stops at the border.
And so physicians can't prescribe off-label use medication here?
Not for COVID. They did it with hydroxychloroquine and it was really bad. And so they are not allowing it right now.
The next step was to kill off the elderly in care homes by mass testing them with bogus PCR tests and changing treatment protocols to give every one of them suffering from lung, respiratory problems, hepatic liver and renal kidney dysfunction, obesity, and heart failure the highly lethal drug, midazolam.
This appears to be the first time a drug company is suing a state for attempting to use their product in an execution, although the sedative midazolam has been used more than 30 other times to carry out a death sentence.
Midazolam is one of three drugs that make up the cocktail in the execution plan for death row inmate Scott Dozier.
This was why we saw the average age of death for COVID-19 as 82 years old, 2 years older than the average human life expectancy anyway, all of them with two or more already serious terminal illnesses. Those are exactly the kind of people who would be suffering respiratory diseases outside of normal flu season. Midazolam is a very rare drug manufactured in limited quantities, so governments had to have already procured and ordered mass manufacturing and distribution of this drug well before March and April of 2020. In other words, this was already pre-planned.
And the second one is with that, that's to the syringe drug is deliver medication, particularly things like midazolam and morphine. Do you have any precautions put in place to make sure we have enough of those medications to be delivered?
Yes. And we've got a big project to make sure that those sorts of medications, as well as the ITU medications that I spoke about earlier, that the supply chains, global supply chains for those medicines are clear. They are, in fact, those medicines are made in a relatively small number of factories around the world. So it is a delicate supply chain, and we are in contact with the whole supply chain.
Naomi's next step, which is still going on to this day, was to rush emergency hospital authorization use for the highly lethal, non-FDA-approved drug, remdesivir, to target and kill all other ages and populations who went into hospital with any respiratory illness and tested positive for COVID-19 with a bogus PCR test.
To a developing story now, and it is a possible step forward in the treatment of coronavirus. Dr. Anthony Fauci speaking at the White House just a short time ago, talking about a promising new drug named remdesivir.
The data shows that remdesivir has a clear-cut, significant, positive effect in diminishing the time to recovery. This is really quite important.
CBS 2's Dr. Max Gomez now with more on how this drug works and also its potential for combating COVID-19.
Remdesivir is an experimental antiviral drug that was originally developed as a not very effective treatment for Ebola. In this trial, run by Dr. Fauci's Institute and the NIH, remdesivir shortened the time it took more than 1,000 patients to recover from COVID-19 by nearly a third, from 15 days to 11.
When I was looking at this data with our team the other night, it was reminiscent of 34 years ago in 1986 when we were struggling for drugs for HIV. And we had nothing. And there was a lot of anecdotal reports about things that maybe did work, maybe not. People were taking different kinds of drugs. And we did the first randomized placebo-controlled trial with AZT, which turned out to give an effect that was modest. But that was not the end game.
The German Corona Committee Foundation reached out to me and asked me to provide all of the documentation to them who are suing the World Health Organization with 1,000 doctors. MDs, and they reached out to me privately to give them a 1.5 hour documentation of Anthony Fauci's knowledge of how he was going to kill people before the pandemic started, how he's still doing it right now while you're seated here, and I'm going to give you some of that information here. What did Anthony Fauci know? February 2020, China was seeking a patent on remdesivir from Gilead Sciences, who manufactures remdesivir, the drug. Look here. A study published in the New England Journal of Medicine last week reported a coronavirus patient in the United States. How many? A coronavirus patient in the United States was found to show an improvement after taking remdesivir, which is also used to treat infectious diseases such as Ebola.
That was originally developed as a not very effective treatment for Ebola.
Let's look at the Ebola study. This is what I did in May 2020. I've been in the media ever since to educate you guys the current genocidal attempt and murderous attempts of Anthony Fauci, the NIH, the FDA, the CDC are all using remdesivir the same way. This is how they're doing it and perpetuating those deaths, using a drug in hospitals. This is the actual Ebola study that Anthony Fauci quoted in May 2020, proved, he said, we're going to use this non-FDA approved drug. It's been approved since, but it wasn't before the pandemic. We're going to use this non-FDA approved drug called remdesivir because it was shown to be safe and efficacious against the Ebola virus in 2018 and 2019. Has anybody actually looked at this study? Because I clicked the link on NIH.gov's website. All of you should do it. This is the study. Ebola virus inside of Africa. They took four regions, gave them all remdesivir and three other experimental drugs. Anthony Fauci said it was proven to be safe and effective against the Ebola virus. So now in this novel virus of the coronavirus, we're going to use it there also. We're going to mandate this one drug. You can't use any other ones. So what did the actual study find? They actually found, you can see here, you see mortality up there? Definition inside the study. They found that remdesivir in 6 months, the safety board pulled remdesivir from the study, a one-year study, because it killed more people than any of the other three drugs, including ZMapp, which was put in by the FDA and the NIH. So 6 months into the study, they pulled remdesivir, they pulled ZMapp, which was supplied by our government to Africa because it killed more people. How many people did it kill? Remdesivir killed 54% of all people in the study that got the drug. Do you know what they're treating all of your loved ones with and those you care about in this country now? Look up here. I'm not lying. This is from the study. Look at the second column from the right, remdesivir. Look below there. 54%. You see that? Mortality rate. All right, next slide, please. He then quoted a second study in May 2020, Anthony Fauci did, that supported the use of remdesivir in the treatment of coronavirus. The Ebola study, by the way, was a lie. No one clicked the link to look at it. I did. This is the other study he mentioned. This was actually done by Gilead Sciences, who makes remdesivir. In early March 2020, they took 53 patients from Japan, Canada, and America who had COVID-19, and they put them on the drug for 10 days. What's the drug? Remdesivir. This is the maker of remdesivir's own trial study. 23% in 10 days had serious adverse events. The most common serious adverse events were multiple organ dysfunction syndrome, which is defined as the number one cause of death in all ICUs, by the way. Second, septic shock, acute kidney failure, and hypotension. Look at the next part. 8% had to be discontinued because remdesivir treatment, it worsened or prevented pre-existing kidney failure and multiple organ failure. 8% had to be taken off by days 5 because they were dying as a result of the poison of remdesivir. That's what they found from this study. As a result of these studies, they decided to actually push this on the masses. All of you, this was going to be the drug choice. Why? Because it would actually make COVID-19 look more deadly than it really was. The New York press conferences of all the doctors when Corona was going throughout New York early on, they were reporting, we've never seen a virus ever attack the kidneys like this one is. You start treating this virus and it attacks the kidneys and shut it down. Not only are we finding that we have limited supply of ventilators, we don't have enough dialysis machines for their kidneys. These doctors had no idea it was never the virus to begin with. Remdesivir was proven in 30% of all people to cause acute kidney failure. Do you know what happens when you shut down the kidneys in somebody? Your kidneys release water from the body. Guess what happens when you shut them down? Your body retains water. Your abdomen fills with water. Your heart fills with water. Your lungs fill with water. Do you know what they call that? Pulmonary edema. You are drowning these people to death with their own fluids, and they can't breathe. They were calling it secondary pneumonia. You have to listen to me. Still today, they are calling it pneumonia from corona. No, it isn't. They are shutting down everybody's kidneys with remdesivir, causing their lungs to fill with fluid, and they are drowning them to death.
But that was not the end game.
Indeed. The real end game was to drive the running COVID death rates up into the millions by killing people with lethal drugs and then giving their corpses meaningless PCR tests to blame it on COVID-19. In order to scare the sheeple into surrendering common sense and con them into taking the real bioweapon, the mandatory jab and endless boosters. This method is called the Hegelian dialectic, or problem-reaction-solution. You create the problem to incite a public fear-based reaction so you can offer the solution to the problem you created in the first place. Governments around the world had already ordered these COVID-19 PCR tests back in 2018, 2 years before such a thing even allegedly existed. How did you make a PCR test for something that didn't yet exist? You can't. Are you starting to see through their game? This terrifying number is in reality equal to the number of people trampled to death by pink flying unicorns over the last year and a half. Zero. There cannot be a Delta or Mu variant of something that doesn't exist, nor even a way to test for any such nonsense. And they mockingly borrowed those names from a 1975 fictional book, The Illuminatus Trilogy. So why are they pushing this narrative? Before, Naomi used non-lethal injections to make people take the deadly medicine. Now, she is using the deadly medicine death numbers to force everyone to take the deadly injections. Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare did a 2009 study showing less than 1% of all vaccine adverse reactions are even reported to VAERS.
The government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
All this is bullshit.
Let's see.
Probably myocarditis due to the vaccine.
Right.
But now they're not going to blame the vaccine.
Well, and you know what? But he has an obligation to report that, doesn't he?
They are not reporting.
Right.
They are not reporting.
Right.
Because they want to shove it under the mat.
The 1976 swine flu vaccine was stopped within 2 weeks after 3 elderly people died immediately after getting the injection. Yet at less than 1% even reported, this COVID injection has possibly killed 1.7 million people and permanently disabled 2.6 million people already. That's just in the United States alone. God knows how many worldwide. And it hasn't been stopped. Why? Because these are not adverse reactions. These are the intended effects of a bioweapon. This jab is doing exactly what it was designed to do, and may indeed go down as the most deadly biological weapon program in history. The FDA told everyone the 22 illnesses they expected these injections to cause before they were even given to the public, and the newspapers are filled with stories of children and young adults having heart problems, including blood clots, strokes, and death, and lo and behold, the exact same illnesses started being reported on VAERS right after these injections. What a coincidence! Athletes are dropping like flies on sports pitches, and now that Naomi is forcing these death jabs into children, for the first time in history, the government is eager to spend tax money telling us on the side of buses that kids have strokes too, totally normal, and the FDA now approved the first oral blood thinning medication for children to prevent blood clots in their veins. Why now? To brainwash people into not seeing the blatantly obvious. 99.99% of kids don't have strokes or blood clots unless you give them an injection that admits causes strokes and blood clots. Sadly, most people base their entire perceived reality and belief system on fictional television and media programming, rather than their own logical and biological observations, and thus they live in a fictional matrix rather than actual reality. They don't ask why they aren't stepping over piles of dead bodies in the streets if the government media claims there is an alleged new black plague. They trust and obey their government god, as they were programmed to do. Government agents like Mark Twain said, "It is easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled." He also said, "There are lies, there are damn lies, and there are statistics." Stalin said, "One death is a tragedy, 1 million is a statistic." Naomi's game is not a new one, and one must be spiritually ready to accept the fact that most of the people they know who took Naomi's COVID jabs and booster shots will be remembered 100 years from now as a statistic only, no different than the 1918 mask-wearing, aspirin-overdosing, gaslighting recipients of the 1918 bacterial meningitis experimental vaccines, who are the only ones who actually died and are now remembered as a statistic only, rather than 6 million easily avoidable tragedies. MK Naomi was implicated in the strange phenomenon known as Morgellons disease, and there are certainly similar parallel phenomenons going on with these new COVID injections. Is it just a coincidence that these COVID vaccine manufacturers have filed patents for things like single and double-walled carbon nanotubes for the purpose of electrical semiconductivity and making self-assembling wiring networks inside of a biological host through the use of teslaphoresis and external frequencies? What frequencies? 5G? Is this why they were frantically putting up 5G towers while the rest of us were locked down in 2020? We have people like Dr. Robert O. Young, Dr. Kerry Madai, La Quinta Labs, and other scientists around the world telling us there are multiple fragments of various metallic objects turning up in the vaccine vials under dark field, bright field, and phase contrast electron microscopy. Are these doctors and scientists crazy, or is something more sinister going on? We have German doctors showing us clotting and coagulating blood platelets of people who have taken this injection that these doctors have never seen in their entire career, with strange shiny geometric objects in the blood samples with a metallic sheen to them. We have vaccine patents for tiny nanomagnets for the purpose of magnetizing blood, and TikTok is flooded with videos of people sticking magnets and cell phones to their arms, some even having metallic objects stick all over their heads and bodies after the injection. Some are not only magnetic, but their arm seems to start trying to charge their cell phone while stuck on them. And while it's fun to poke a little fun at the absurdity of it all, one really has to wonder what's really going on here. DARPA, the Department of Defense, and the Gates Foundation were working with MIT on hydrogel implantable nanotech biosensors for the use in COVID vaccines, along with a glowing enzyme technology called luciferase, and many were quick to write it off as a conspiracy theory or science fiction, Quantum dots are also crystal semiconductors. But if some of these injections don't have luciferase in them, then what is this all about? Why else would a person's injection site and the veins on their injection hand be lighting up under a black light? And if there is no hydrogel in this technology, then why can blood be drawn from the injection site that comes out in thick jelly form, exactly like hydrogel and coagulation, and not like normal bloodletting? Does that look normal to you? Then we have Moderna's patent for lipid nanoparticles for mRNA vaccines, designed for sustained release of compound biological agents into a human being that can be programmed over hours, days, weeks, months, or years before it's done releasing its compound into the body. But isn't that supposed to be the point and job of the constant booster shots they are pushing? Why would you need two shots and three booster shots a year if one can do the job for the entire year? And what are these compounds and biological agents? One of their patents is for using it to deliver docetaxel, which is a chemotherapy medication used to treat types of cancer, not viruses. The drug allegedly works by damaging the RNA or DNA that theoretically tells the cell how to copy itself in division. If the cells are unable to divide, they die. They also induce cell suicide or apoptosis. We are told, unfortunately, chemotherapy does not know the difference between the cancerous cells and the normal cells, so it kills all of them. And the normal cells most commonly affected are the blood cells. They have patents for injecting ferritin nanoparticles to modulate cell activity that can allegedly control the function of specific cells when excited with certain external radio frequency waves, with the aim of making cells produce certain proteins they wouldn't normally. I say allegedly because cellular biology is actually an unproven theoretical science as well, just like germ theory, but that's the topic for another film. What is remarkable is that all of these technologies look very similar to the self-assembling machines Dr. Zandra Botha found in vials of a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which were self-assembling under the microscope, but after being left alone to dry out for a few hours, were completely gone, and instead left this strange network of strands. One of the main reasons you don't want these people messing around with foreign proteins in your body, and by no coincidence, is one of the main adverse reactions people are having to these injections, and one of the 22 they told you to expect, is anaphylaxis, or anaphylactic shock, which is what is killing all of those who die either immediately or within 15 minutes at the vaccination centers. Anaphylaxis happens when even a minuscule, insignificant amount of poison or foreign protein is introduced into the bloodstream and changes a person's internal chemical constitution forever. After a 3 to 4 week incubation period, if that same protein or poison is once again introduced into the bloodstream, the body has a severe allergic reaction and death is most often the result. The mainstream MKUltra media in every country of the world is trying to tell us all sorts of ridiculous reasons why the hospitals are full of nearly only the double jabbed right now, and that these numbers are going to continue to grow, so don't be alarmed that it's totally normal. At least The Guardian was honest enough to say, but that does not mean COVID vaccines are failing. Indeed, they are doing exactly what they were designed to do. If too many people started dropping dead or falling extremely ill after their first injection, word would get out and nobody in their right mind would take even one of these, let alone a second one or any booster shots. That's why this technology is so dangerous. They can put the anaphylactic agent into any future booster or even flu shot in any areas they want, whenever they want. And anyone paying attention has noticed them setting up this exact mind control since summer. And so long as they have people in fear, fear is the key here. Fear of their fictional boogeyman, pink flying unicorn, Mu and Delta variants. They can just blame those variants for the coming vaccination booster deaths and convince ignorant people that the double jabbed are somehow magically getting hospital causing COVID, while the unjabbed are all walking around healthy as can be, despite this going against any basic logic and far beyond sheer ridiculousness. But people in fear do not have logic. We could get into the transhumanism speculations about these injections and what are being called COVID babies, born from vaccinated parents with all black eyes with little to no white in them, rather than the big bright brown and baby blue eyes we're all used to, and how these children are way advanced for their age, holding their heads up at birth rather than 1 to 4 months, some rolling over on their bellies and trying to crawl at just days to weeks old rather than 4 to 6 months, some trying to walk at 2 months instead of 6 to 9 months, and sitting up on their own at 4 months instead of 6 to 8 months. They are both fascinating and as frightening as the thalidomide children. We could also talk about what appear to be forms of Hydra vulgaris Dr. Madai found under her microscope in the Moderna vials.
Carrie, you saw this under the microscope. I just want you to know that the NIH has spent over $24 million in about the last 10 years doing chimeric research with the Hydra to basically genetically assimilate it to the human body, as well as to learn to, how to overcome human bacteria and viruses. Just so you know what you saw.
The transhumanist groups love this organism. They think it's the key to everything that they're doing. So people should look up Hydra vulgaris and the genus of other organisms too, and how they've been doing mosaics or chimerics of this, and how they can make their own neural network from these organisms. So we have to do a different show on that, of why they would want to use this and how it can affect people. It's very purposeful.
Yeah. And so two things. One, the patent says that you can inject, the vaccine can contain a microorganism, which no, it can't. That's not a vaccine. That's a bioweapon. You don't inject people with parasites. But two, the reason why is they talk about how humans are inadequate in our ability to regenerate cells.
Stem cells, we don't have a lot of those. Those are very few, very precious, right? And they can become anything in the body. They could heal many things, but we only have a little bit. So this organism is just a bag of stem cells. It also can regenerate innumerable times, meaning you could chop it up in tiny bits, which that's what I saw in the microscope was chopped up. It's called dissociation. When it's thawed or taken to warm room temperature, it reassembles itself to its original structure over and over and over again. And that's what I was seeing. That it was actually, it's not just the tesloferesis with these big beads coming together. A bona fide organism was assembling itself from its chopped up bits.
Inside of the Moderna vaccine vials, Dr. Frank Zalewski claims to have found eggs and a Hydra-like organism made of aluminum and carbon that grew out of the eggs when nourished with graphene, with a head of 20 microns and tentacles spanning 2.5 millimeters. A metallic-based life form. There is a huge controversy going on right now about whether the graphene being found in the blood samples of the people injected and in the Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson vials being tested is simply natural residue from pharmaceutical devices that use graphene for smooth rubber plunger function, or if it is put there intentionally, and over how much graphene is really in these vials and injections. Some claim it is a minuscule amount, while others claim it is over 90%. I really don't know, and I'm not qualified to say. What I can say is that in a fluid medium like your blood, This substance reacts to external frequencies in a way that would not make it wise to have massive amounts of it in your bloodstream and organ tissue, as it can lead to pathological blood coagulation, hypercapnia, hypoxia, and death, which all just happen to be listed under their fancy Latin medical names on the FDA's expected adverse reactions to these injections. Probably just a coincidence. We could even go into the incredibly detailed advanced patents that admit to using the guise of manufactured pandemics and infectious diseases to launch a cryptocurrency-based surveillance capitalism system based on a social credit score system generated by multiple electronic spying technology hooked up to our internal human biometrics. But we have already covered that technology and future in great detail in our film, Once Were the Living. We can look at the coming 2022 Utah digital driver's license, list of items that will be tracked, and ask what the hell have our vaccine records, spending records, who we vote for, our dietary preferences, or our social credit scoring have anything to do with driving a car around? And what social credit scoring? Isn't that just a conspiracy theory or something only happening in
China?
They know if we all throw our smartphones in the garbage, this future system cannot work. So the idea in these patents is to put the tracking technology inside of our bodies so that nobody can escape. But there's only one way to get this technology inside of somebody. But none of this matters. The average person has long ago been programmed by Ultra to automatically label any evidence outside of their manufactured reality as nutty conspiracy theory, to avoid having to face an unpleasant truth and the responsibility of having to take action or go against the herd. They seem no longer able to connect the dots and piece together the obvious. They would rather believe that 2 plus 2 equals 5 and be fooled rather than admit they have been fooled. So if we want to reach these people, forget what they will shoot down as conspiracy theory and just show them what can be proven as hard fact. Whatever is really in them, these shots and medications are killing and permanently disabling people worldwide. There is no denying that hard evidence. If they want to believe the mainstream rhetoric and want to believe COVID even exists, ask them how they condone locking down the entire world and risking the lives and health of children and themselves for a virus with a 99.97% survival rate or better for every age, in order to protect and save the 80% majority of elderly people who allegedly died from COVID at age 82, 2 years over the average life expectancy, who were dying anyway with two already terminal pre-existing medical conditions. Even by their own false narrative, that is insanity. You've probably noticed that the majority of brainwashed people you know still get their programmed reality from big pharma-controlled mainstream newspapers and television programs, while the people you know who are awake to what is really going on have stopped watching that crap years ago. They say the human eye can only see between 30 and 60 frames per second. But that does not mean our brain and subconscious mind is not perceiving much more than our visual processing does. With the introduction of ultra-high definition, it is now possible to film and broadcast up to 120 frames per second, double what the eye can even see. What's the point? If MKUltra and Naomi were doing this to us in the 1960s through 1980s on 24 frames per second analog technology, what subliminal technology are they capable of now? Do you really think they've stopped?
Vaccinated America, go and get the vaccination.